somebody that Jesus died upon Calvary's tree. I've got to tell somebody.
Welcome to the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study Radio Program. I am Pastor Glenn Koppel, and I'm so glad you're here and could join us today for this event in the life of Jesus. Did you ever buy a product from someone that someone else had recommended? Have you ever told your friends about a fabulous restaurant, a reputable car dealer, or a political leader that you felt would be a good person for that position? Have you ever been able to give a letter of recommendation for someone seeking employment somewhere else? We're going to be talking about that today. Please turn in Book 4 to Lesson 15. Our scripture text is in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John the Baptist is again answering questions about who he is and who he is not. The next day, he will see Jesus and recommend him to those who are there to hear John preach. John sees Jesus and actually introduces him to the Jews that have come to listen. At the end of this broadcast, we will tell you how you can receive the entire Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study booklet series for your study and benefit. Now, let's take off into another exciting adventure, getting to know Jesus. It really helps if you have others who will speak out for you when you are trying to start something new. Most great leaders started out as insignificant people until somebody spoke out as a testimony in their behalf and encouraged others to follow. John the Baptist might have been an exception to that, and there are going to be other exceptions as well. But most of us have someone else that says, hey, this guy's pretty good. You ought to listen to him. Has someone else ever recommended a salesman or a service person or a business to you? Did that help you to have confidence in that person or that business? How would you like to announce, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, or introduce a king or a queen or a leader from your country of heritage? Would you feel a sense of pride and identity in being able to introduce that person? Would that be a very special event in your life if you were given the opportunity to do so? What if someone questions who you are, as if you might be a dignitary or a celebrity? Have you ever been actually mistaken for somebody who's better known and much more famous? I've had a few people tell me that I look like a certain individual who, by the way, happens to be a little better known than me, at least at that point in time, evangelist in Christian circles. And I went to hear him speak one time, and I was looking at myself in the mirror. He had a little more of a southern accent in his voice than I do, and his style of preaching influenced his background. But you know what else was interesting about that was I was shopping in the grocery store a short time later, and this got to talking to a lady there that was shopping, and she said, you look so much like my son. Well, I told her that some people had said I look like a guy that's in an evangelist, and I mentioned his name, and she said, that's my son. So I even had his own mother looking at me and recognizing me or something like that. Well, anyway. But how about introducing to someone? How about if you're the leader? How do you be truly humble? Sometimes you're the person that's being called to be the speaker or the leader, the one out front. Well, let's see what John the Baptist did. We're in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. First of all, in being humble, don't seek attention for yourself. John is challenged by the priests and the Levites to prove who he is. They consider it a part of their duty to be a watchdog of the faith, and they want to know if he is claiming to be the Messiah or not. I mean, by what right is he out there preaching what he's preaching? And is he preaching Jewish religious doctrine, or is he preaching some heresy that they will need to stop him from doing before he gets too far with it? Just who do you think you are? Well, this is a reasonable responsibility they have. The only problem with the Pharisees and the priests from Jerusalem is that they're kind of sometimes a little more interested in being watchdogs and than they are in being objective. They're sometimes more worried about maintaining control than they are about seeing whether someone else may be actually called of God and may have a message that they need to hear and heed to. Whatever we're doing, they want to know if John the Baptist is going to hold to their long-held traditions. Where do you find the balance between protecting a vital Bible doctrine and being overzealous on matters that really don't matter in eternity? There are many years ago when I would engage another person from a different denomination, and I would try to challenge some denominational doctrine and prove to them that they were wrong and I was right. I've even had a debate or two with a minister a time or two over various doctrinal issues. The only problem in these situations was sometimes I wasn't being very humble. I was so sure that I was right and I was going to straighten these people out and I was going to teach them the right way to do things that I didn't consider that maybe I was wrong also. And a lot of the things that we discussed are things that really are not going to matter in eternity. When we stand before the judgment throne of God, He's not going to ask us whether we did this or whether we believed in that or whether we participated in this kind of worship or that kind of doctrinal statement or whatever. The only question is going to be, who's Jesus? And this is what John the Baptist is trying to prepare these people for. The Messiah is coming. Well, the second thing you want to do if you're going to be humble is speak the truth. John chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Out of this inquiry, these guys challenge John, well, just who are you if you're not the Messiah and you're not a prophet and you're not this and you're not that? Who are you? And he takes the opportunity to clarify who he is and who he is not. Or is it who he is not and who he is? I guess he speaks to who he is not first. When someone comes along and doing something different, do you tend to shy away and avoid them, or go in and investigate to see if you approve? They ask John why he is immersing Jews who come to him. They don't question the right of immersion, only the reason. Immersion isn't new. And it was a common practice of Jews who would win Gentiles over to Judaism. It was one of the initiation rites that was kind of symbolizing that this person is now a proselyted Jew. John knows what God has called him to do, and he clarifies who he is not. He is not the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. In his humility, he does not consider himself as Elijah that is prophesied in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, although Jesus will later claim that he is. We often get caught up in our egos when we are worried about being recognized for certain accomplishments. Sometimes if somebody's going to challenge us about what we're believing or what we're advocating, we'll get defensive and we'll start to attack them because we feel that they are attacking us or we're afraid they're going to attack us. Could we be like John instead and just merely do the work and let God do the recognizing? And if somebody comes to question us, can we just speak the truth in there to them? It's simple, not feeling threatened or acting in a threatening way towards them. Might be a bit of a challenge for us, but it might be a good challenge for us. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, the only question on the final is who is Jesus? And a lot of these things that we sometimes get well-meaningly caught up in aren't going to matter when we get to eternity. I try to keep that in mind when I see things that other people are doing that are a little different than how I do it. Well, they may not be doing it the way I do it, but they love God, and they are serving Him as best they know how. And that's all I can say about myself, for that matter. Well, another thing that John the Baptist does is he builds others up. In John chapter 1, verses 24 through 28, John clarifies who he is. I'm just the voice of one calling out in the desert, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. When the people ask who you are, what do you tell them? Do you tell, well, I'm the greatest preacher that ever lived, says so-and-so? Or do you say, sometimes we can get caught up in our titles. Well, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm Reverend So-and-so. I am Pastor So-and-so. Various titles for various people. Actually, titles aren't near as important. It's far more that whether you do the work that's going to count. We sometimes may use titles to help distinguish who we are and who we are not with man. And there can be pros and cons to that. Maybe I ought to put that on the message board and we could discuss that sometime about what kind of title we should use in our ministry or our work with other people. But John says that he's the voice of one crying in the desert. And he says there's someone coming after him who is just far greater than he himself is. The Pharisees ask why John baptizes or immerses. John plays down his role and he promotes Jesus' place. It's not so important what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. What is important is that you be ready for the one who's coming after me, because he is the one whose shoes I'm unworthy to untie. Has your ego ever gotten in front of your humility? I can tell you, I've been there. There have been times when my ego's gotten in front of my humility, and I've had to eat some humble pie or rethink about some of the things that I used to hold dear. I've got some sermons in my file drawer that I can't preach today because I've come to a more mature understanding of the gospel and realize that those sermons are wrong, at least in part, if not in whole. Well, we also want to acknowledge our superiors. We notice that John is near Bethany, which is also called Bethabara, which would be near the city of Jericho. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, John acknowledges someone superior to him. In fact, it says, the next day, John is out there preaching again, and here comes Jesus. And he says, and he gestures over towards him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, it's so interesting that he doesn't say, hey, there's the Messiah, follow him. It's interesting. He doesn't say, the Greek would say, there's the Christ. The Jew would say, there's the Messiah. But either way, he doesn't point Jesus out that way. He says the Lamb of God, a reference to his redemptive purpose, Jesus' redemptive purpose, to protect us from the death angel. Now, that term is used by John the Baptist in verse 29 and verse 36, and that's the only time that it's ever used to describe Jesus. Oh, it's also used in the book of Revelation. But Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man or the Son of God. Others refer to him by other different titles. But John the Baptist is the one who calls him the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one who John said is so great that John is not even worthy to untie his sandals. How would you feel if you were the person who was called by God to introduce Jesus? Let's say that instead of the President of the United States or instead of the King of the country from which your heritage hails from, most of us are foreigners to this country. And so if we were to go back to our heritage, we'd trace our roots to another country. And if that leader were to come and we were to introduce them, that would be a significant event. But what if it were not one of them? What if it were not a world-famous religious leader? What if it were Jesus himself? What if the second coming was coming up in the near future and God called down and said, I want you to go and tell people that my son is coming back to claim the world, to take the Christians to be with him in eternity, or with us in eternity, and send the lost to hell? How would you feel if you were the one that was commissioned to go and tell that great news? Now, John knows Jesus. I mean, they're cousins. They don't live close to each other. They may only see each other when they get together for the feast in Jerusalem as they're growing up. But they do have a knowledge of each other and who each other is and some very significant things about their life. I'm sure that Joseph and Mary told Jesus about Elizabeth having his cousin John when she was too old to bear children. And of course, as Jesus and John are growing up and they see each other, Jesus can look at Zachariah and Elizabeth and say, man, you guys are old enough to be grandparents and you're just raising your first child. And of course, John would, Elizabeth and Zachariah would be sure to tell John that, hey, your cousin Jesus, his father is God, not Joseph. Joseph's just his stepfather. And he is the one that the God said would be the Messiah. Well, so John and Jesus have some degree of knowledge towards each other in these events. But does he know all that he needs to know? Does he know all that you and I know about Jesus? I mean, most of us have at least gotten bits and pieces of his life. We maybe watched a movie once or twice about the life of Jesus, or we've read through the Gospels and we're familiar with most of the events. Did John know all of that before he started preaching about the Messiah's coming? I don't think so. But he did have some knowledge of who Jesus is. He just did not fully understand everything that was about him. John only knows that he is to introduce Jesus to everyone that he can get to listen to him. Have you ever been a vehicle to introduce a news story to the reporters? One time I was coming home from an event, and I noticed the lights on a house were flickering. This was a winter night. It was around Christmas time, and I thought there was something unusual about the way the lights were flickering in that house. I stopped the car, ran out the driveway, looked in the window, and I could see that the house was on fire. The Christmas tree had caught fire. And so I banged on the door real loud and yelled, "Get out, get out, the house is on fire." And found out it was a duplex and there was nobody in that end, but there was somebody around on the other side, and they heard me banging and yelling, and they came out and investigated. And I ran across the street and told a neighbor to call the fire department and get them over there because the house was on fire. And pretty soon the fire department came and they got in there and they worked at putting out the house. And I was able to tell the reporter the story about how I discovered the house was on fire and didn't save any. Well, I guess I did save the lives of the people on the other side. They may not have discovered the fire until it exploded upon them and overcome them with smoke. And so, but I never thought about it as that. I just discovered a fire, fortunately, in a somewhat early stage. The damage to the house was still very substantial. So there was a couple of families that had to find somewhere else for that Christmas. But have you ever come up on a situation like that, and you've been the one that the reporters wanted to talk to because you were the first one that saw it happen, and you could relate that story? Well, John's still seeing Jesus unfold in this chain of events, but he's the one who's preparing the way. He's the one that has the story for the reporters if they want to come out and interview him and ask him about it. John declares how Jesus as Messiah was confirmed to him. He clarifies the purpose of his immersion, to prepare people for the immersion of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will give them. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He's the Anointed One. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. And there's a lot of other titles that we can put with him too. This was all confirmed to John because when he immersed Jesus, then the Spirit of God ascended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and God, of course, made the declaration that we had back there just a couple of lessons ago. This is my beloved Son in whom I am very, very pleased. And John confirms to people that I saw the Spirit of God descend on the man, and I was told by God that the one on who you see my Spirit descend, that is my Son. That's the one you're telling people about. So now John has spiritual, eternal confirmation from heaven that Jesus is the one they are looking for. You know, I'm not God's gift to the church. I am only a voice trying to tell you and other people more about Jesus and who he is and how we can become more like him. I'm taking what I've learned as a child growing up. I've taken what I've learned from years of Bible college and preaching ministry and teaching and writing lessons and teaching lessons. and then research and writing specifically about the life and teachings of Jesus. And I bring that to you so that we can all be getting to know Jesus. We want to see how we can become more like him. God only knows how much more we need to become like Jesus and how much better this world would be if we could take the life and teachings of Jesus and apply it to our lives and let him be our role model. Now, that's not something I'm qualified to do, but I believe that it is something I have been called to do. I pray that these lessons are blessing you and that you are growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Of course, we're only getting started. And I've been through the entire life of Christ. I've written 160 lessons on his life, and this is lesson number 15 in that series. And I can tell you, from experience and observation, it gets better as we go. There's a lot of exciting things in Jesus' life that we're going to look forward to discovering as we venture on through getting to know Jesus. I pray that these lessons will help you grow closer to Jesus and bring a great enrichment to your life. We appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate seeing how God has worked among us and taught us such rich things. And there's going to be a lot of lessons about how we can be humble, how we can serve God, how we can live a better and more fulfilling life. We invite you to join us as we continue each week getting to know Jesus. We want to thank you for listening, and we would especially appreciate you who have told others about this program, and you're telling your friends and about the Getting to Know Jesus series and inviting them to listen in also. You know, it makes a big difference when you have people that recommend a business or an opportunity to you and recommend you to others for service that you are given the talent to offer. You are telling others about us is not unlike John the Baptist telling others about Jesus. Although we're not near as important as Jesus, but hey, you know, word of mouth still counts. We aren't as great as Jesus or John. Well, this Getting to Know Jesus lesson is a part of a series of the Bible study lessons of the entire life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We go through every event in Jesus' life to see what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have to say about it and how it applies to our lives today. We have compiled these lessons into study booklets complete with the Bible text with the words of Jesus in red, a verse-by-verse commentary, discussion, and optional homework questions, maps, and a full-color photograph pertaining to that event in every lesson. These booklets are available to go along with the radio series that you are listening to. To receive these books, get a pencil and paper, and we'll give you the phone number and the address in just a moment. We also want to thank you for joining us for the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study Radio program. This program is supported by prayers and gifts from listeners like you. To make a donation using your credit card and to help us stay on this station, please call us Monday through Friday during California business hours at 1-877-44-JESUS. That is 1-877-445-3787. If you call us on Sunday, you'll find us in church worshiping Jesus, but leave your phone number and we'll get back to you just as soon as we can on Monday. In the Los Angeles area, you can dial 310-542-1711. Thank you for your letters of support and encouragement. Please pray for us. And if you'd rather mail your gift in, you can send it to New Hope Gospel Ministries. That's a post office box 14505. In Torrance, California, 90503. You can also make a donation by going to www.gettingtoknowjesus.org and clicking on the PayPal donate button. If you visit our website, you'll see a message board and other opportunities for Bible study resource material that you can use in getting to know Jesus. Come and share your comments on our message board and participate in the discussion questions. We'd love to have you. At gettingtoknowjesus.org. Remember, this recording is copyrighted. That means you may make as many copies as you like and give them to your friends. Just don't sell them to anyone else. Thank you again for listening. We'll look forward to seeing you next week as we continue on our journey, getting to know Jesus. What Jesus did.